Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Sunday. It's June the 18th, day 169 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're taking a little time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word take a little time on us, and oh, how we need that. No doubt about that. Hey, today is Father's Day. So for all you fathers out there, those that have the heart of the Father, I want to bless you and let you know that you're loved, my friends, and wish you a very happy Father's Day. I love that phrase in James where it describes God as the Father of all lights. Isn't that interesting? Well, we're going to look into some interesting stuff here today as we turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22, 2 Chronicles, chapters 18 and 19, and then we finish our reading in Colossians chapter 4. Let us look to the Father of lights now to illuminate His Word for us. As we jump into 1 Kings chapter 22, we are reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. Jehoshaphat and Ahab. For 3 years there was no war between Aram and Israel. Then during the third year, King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to visit King Ahab of Israel. During the visit, the king of Israel said to his officials, "Do you realize that the towns of Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us? And yet we've done nothing to recapture it from the king of Aram." Then he turned to Jehoshaphat and asked, "Will you join me in battle to recover Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "Why, of course. You and I are as one. My troops are your troops, and my horses are your horses." Then Jehoshaphat added, "But first, let's find out what the Lord says." So the king of Israel summoned the prophets, about 400 of them, and asked them, "Should I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should I hold back?" They all replied, "Yes, go right ahead. The Lord will give the king victory." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there not also a prophet of the Lord here? We should ask him the same question." The king of Israel replied to Jehoshaphat, "There's one more man who could consult the Lord for us, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything but trouble for me. His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah." Jehoshaphat replied, "That's not the way a king should talk. Let's hear what he has to say." So the king of Israel called one of the officials and said, "Quick, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah." King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat of Judah, dressed in their royal robes, were sitting on thrones at the threshing floor near the gate of Samaria. All of Ahab's prophets were prophesying there in front of them. One of them, Zedekiah, son of Chenaana, made some iron horns and proclaimed, "This is what the Lord says, with these horns you will gore the Arameans to death." All the prophets agreed. "Yes," they said, "go up to Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory." Meanwhile, the messenger who went to get Micaiah said to him, "Look, all the prophets are prophesying victory for the king. Be sure that you agree with them and promise success." But Micaiah replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me to say." When Micaiah arrived before the king, Ahab asked him, "Micaiah, should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should we hold back?" Micaiah replied, sarcastically, "Yes, go up and be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory." But the king replied sharply, "How many times must I demand that you speak only the truth to me when you speak for the Lord?" Then Micaiah told him, "In a vision I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd, and the Lord said, 'Their master has been killed. Send them home in peace.'" "Didn't I tell you?" the king of Israel exclaimed to Jehoshaphat. "He never prophesies anything but trouble for me." Then Micaiah continued, "Listen to what the Lord says. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the armies of heaven around him, on his right and on his left, and the Lord said, 'Who can entice Ahab to go into battle against Ramoth-Gilead so he can be killed?' There were many suggestions, and finally a spirit approached the Lord and said, 'I can do it. How will you do this? The Lord asked. And the Spirit replied, I will go out and inspire all Ahab's prophets to speak lies. You will succeed, said the Lord. Go ahead and do it. So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all your prophets, for the Lord has pronounced your doom. Then Zedekiah, son of Chenaanah, walked up to Micaiah and slapped him across the face. Since when did the Spirit of the Lord leave me to speak to you? He demanded. And Micaiah replied, You will find out soon enough when you are trying to hide in some secret room. Arrest him, the king of Israel ordered. Take him back to Ammon, the governing city, and to my son Joash. Give them this order from the king. Put this man in prison and feed him nothing but bread and water until I return safely from the battle. But Micaiah replied, If you return safely, it will mean that the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added to those standing around, Everyone mark my words. So King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah led their armies against Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, As we go into battle, I'll disguise myself so no one will recognize me, but you wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. Meanwhile, the king of Aram issued these orders to his 32 chariot commanders. Attack only the king of Israel. Don't bother with anyone else. So when the Aramean chariot commander saw Jehoshaphat in his royal robes, they went after him. There's the king of Israel, they shouted. But when Jehoshaphat called out, the chariot commanders realized he was not the king of Israel, and they stopped chasing him. An Aramean soldier, however, randomly shot an arrow at the Israelite troops and hit the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Turn the horses and get me out of here, Ahab groaned to the driver of his chariot. I'm badly wounded. The battle raged all that day, and the king remained propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran down to the floor of his chariot, and as evening arrived, he died. Just as the sun was setting, the cry ran through his troops, We're done for! Run for your lives! So the king died, and his body was taken to Samaria and buried there. Then his chariot was washed beside the pool of Samaria, and dogs came and licked his blood at the place where the prostitutes bathed, just as the Lord had promised. The rest of the events in Ahab's reign and everything he did, including the story of the ivory palace and the towns he built, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. So Ahab died, and his son Ahaziah became the next king. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, began to rule over Judah in the fourth year of King Ahab's reign in Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. His mother was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. Jehoshaphat was a good king, following the example of his father Asa. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. During his reign, however, he failed to remove all the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burnt incense there. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. The rest of the events in Jehoshaphat's reign, the extent of his power, and the wars he waged are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. He banished from the land the rest of the male and female shrine prostitutes who still continued their practices from the days of his father Asa. There was no king in Edom at that time, only a deputy. Jehoshaphat also built a fleet of trading ships to sail to Ophir for gold, but the ships never set sail, for they met with disaster in their home port of Ezion-Geber. At one time, Ahaziah, son of Ahab, had proposed to Jehoshaphat, Let my men sail your men in the ships. But Jehoshaphat refused the request. When Jehoshaphat died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Jehoram became the next king. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, began to rule over Israel in the 17th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 2 years. But he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the example of his father and mother, and the example of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had led Israel to sin. He served Baal and worshipped him, provoking the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, just as his father had done. 2 Chronicles 18. Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Jehoshaphat enjoyed great riches and high esteem, and he made an alliance with Ahab of Israel by having his son marry Ahab's daughter. A few years later, he went to Samaria to visit Ahab, who prepared a great banquet for him and his officials. They butchered great numbers of sheep, goats, and cattle for the feast. Then Ahab enticed Jehoshaphat to join forces with him to recover Ramoth-Gilead. "Will you go with me to Ramoth-Gilead?" King Ahab of Israel asked King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Jehoshaphat replied, "Why, of course! You and I are as one, and my troops are your troops. We will certainly join you in battle." Then Jehoshaphat added, "But first, let's find out what the Lord says." So the king of Israel summoned the prophets, 400 of them, and asked them, "Should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should we hold back?" They all replied, "Yes, go right ahead. God will give the king victory." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there not also a prophet of the Lord here? We should ask him the same question." The king of Israel replied to Jehoshaphat, "There is one more man who could consult the Lord for us, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything but trouble for me. His name is Micaiah, son of Imla." Jehoshaphat replied, "That's not the way a king should talk. Let's hear what he has to say." So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, "Quick, bring Micaiah, son of Imla." King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah, dressed in their royal robes, were sitting on thrones on the threshing floor near the gate of Samaria. All of Ahab's prophets were prophesying there in front of them. One of them, Zedekiah, son of Kenaana, made some iron horns and proclaimed, "This is what the Lord says. With these horns, you will gore the Arameans to death." All the other prophets agreed. "Yes," they said, "go up to Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory." Meanwhile, the messenger who went to get Micaiah said to him, "Look, all the prophets are promising victory for the king. Be sure that you agree with them and promise success." But Micaiah replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what my God says." When Micaiah arrived before the king, Ahab asked him, "Micaiah, should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should I hold back?" Micaiah replied sarcastically, "Yes, go up and be victorious, for you will have victory over them." But the king replied sharply, "How many times must I demand that you speak only the truth to me when you speak for the Lord?" Then Micaiah told him, "In a vision I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'Their master has been killed. Send them home in peace.'" "Didn't I tell you?" the king of Israel exclaimed to Jehoshaphat. "He never prophesies anything but trouble for me." Then Micaiah continued, "Listen to what the Lord says. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the armies of heaven around him, on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who can entice King Ahab of Israel to go into battle against Ramoth-Gilead so he can be killed?' There were many suggestions, and finally, a spirit approached the Lord and said, 'I can do it.' 'How will you do this?' the Lord asked. And the spirit replied, 'I will go out and inspire all of Ahab's prophets to speak lies.'" "You will succeed," the Lord said. "Go ahead and do it." "So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of your prophets, for the Lord has pronounced your doom." Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaana, walked up to Micaiah and slapped him across the face. "Since when did the spirit of the Lord leave me to speak to you?" he demanded. And Micaiah replied, "You will find out soon enough when you are trying to hide in some secret room." "Arrest him," the king of Israel ordered. "Take him back to Ammon, the governing city, and to my son Joash. Give them this order from the king. Put this man in prison and feed him nothing but bread and water until I return safely from the battle." But Micaiah replied, "If you return safely, it will mean that the Lord has not spoken through me." Then he added to those standing around, "Everyone mark my words." So King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah led their armies against Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "As we go into battle, I'll disguise myself so no one will recognize me, but you wear your royal robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself and then went out into battle. Meanwhile, the king of Aram had issued these orders to his chariot commanders. Attack only the king of Israel. Don't bother with anyone else. So when the Aramean chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat in his royal robes, they went after him. There's the king of Israel, they shouted. But Jehoshaphat called out, and the Lord saved him. God helped him by turning the attackers away from him. As soon as the chariot commanders realized he was not the king of Israel, they stopped chasing him. An Aramean soldier, however, randomly shot an arrow at the Israelite troops and hit the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. "Turn the horses and get me out of here," Ahab groaned to the driver of the chariot. "I'm badly wounded." The battle raged all that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in the chariot facing the Arameans. In the evening, just as the sun was setting, he died. 2 Chronicles 19. When King Jehoshaphat of Judah arrived safely home in Jerusalem, Jehu, son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. "Why should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord?" he asked the king. "Because you have done this, the Lord is very angry with you. Even so, there is some good in you, for you have removed the Asherah poles throughout the land, and you have committed yourself to seeking God." Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, but he went out among the people, traveling from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim, encouraging the people to return to their Lord, the God of their ancestors. He appointed judges throughout the nation in all the fortified towns, and he said to them, "Always think carefully before pronouncing judgment. Remember that you do not judge to please people, but to please the Lord. He will be with you when you render the verdict in each case. Fear the Lord and judge with integrity. For the Lord our God does not tolerate perverted justice, partiality, or the taking of bribes." In Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and clan leaders in Israel to serve as judges for cases involving the Lord's regulations and for civil disputes. These were his instructions to them. "You must always act in the fear of the Lord, with faithfulness and an undivided heart. Whenever a case comes to you from fellow citizens in an outlying town, whether a murder case or some other violation of God's law, commands, decrees, or regulations, you must warn them not to sin against the Lord, so that he will not be angry with you and them. Do this, and you will not be guilty. Amariah, the high priest, will have final say in all cases involving the Lord. Zebediah, son of Ishmael, a leader from the tribe of Judah, will have final say in all civil cases. The Levites will assist you in making sure that justice is served. Take courage as you fulfill your duties, and may the Lord be with those who do what is right." Colossians chapter 4. Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. Tychius will give you a full report about how I am getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. I'm also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychius will tell you everything that's happening here. Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas's cousin. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome as he comes your way. Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among my co-workers. They are working with me here for the kingdom of God, and what a comfort they have been. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays hard for you, and also for the believers in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters at Laodicea, and to Nymphia, and the church that meets in her house. After you have read this letter, pass it on to the church at Laodicea, so they can read it too. And you should read the letter I wrote to them. I say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Here's my greeting in my own handwriting. Paul. Remember my chains. May God's grace be with you. And may God add his grace and blessing to the reading of this word. Amen. Micaiah, the truth-speaking prophet, is a light. In the face of deceived and dark kingdoms and deceived and dark prophets, he's a light. God always has his lights, those who speak the truth, and Micaiah was one of those. God always has his lights because he's the father of all lights, we're told in James. Men like Micaiah who are faithful to shine their light in the darkness, to speak the truth, to speak for the Lord, regardless of the results. Micaiah was one of these lights. Paul was one of these lights too, and Paul, like Micaiah, desired to shine the truth of Christ and the gospel, in the darkness too. And Paul knows how hard it can be. In fact, he writes these words in chains. And it's only going to get worse from there. And yet he is still determined to shine his light. But he asks his friends to pray for him. He says, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. It's going to be hard, but I'm a child of the light, and I'm called to shine that light in the darkness. So pray that I'll do it as I should. And God, the Father of lights, is not just the father of prophets and apostles, people like Paul and like Micaiah. No, he's also the father of ordinary folks like you and like me, like those who are mentioned at the end of today's reading. Names of people that rarely get a second thought by this dark world. But they too are born into the light of our good Father, and they too are to be sure to carry out the ministry that God has given them. People like Archippus, of whom Paul said in verse 17, be sure to carry out the ministry, Archippus, that the Lord has given you. And people like Demas, Epaphras, Aristarchus, Tychius. People like you, people like me. People with names like Craig and Tom and Rebecca, Mary Ellen and Luz. All lights born of the Father. All with the ministry and a call to shine that bright light in this dark world. Paul asks for our prayers. He says, pray that I'll speak as I ought to. Pray that I'll shine as I ought to. Paul exhorts. He says, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord has given you. And those are the prayers that I have for my own heart today. That I will see that my Father has shined his light in me through Christ. He's given me the light of the world. He's born light in my own heart through Christ. And he's given me a specific task, just as he's given you something to do as well. And we ought to do that which God has called us to do. Do it in his strength. Reflecting back to him the glory that is only his. May we shine our lights well, my friends. That's a prayer that I have for my own soul. That's a prayer that I have for my family, for my wife and my daughters and my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. May it be so. DailyRadioBible.com. That's That's home base out here. That's where we hang our hat. And it's always a great thing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. Speaking of that, my friend Diane has written in recently, and she said, you know, I was driving the other day with my two friends, and I asked them if it would be okay if I could play something for them. And so she puts the Daily Radio Bible on speaker in the car, and to her surprise, her friends actually liked what they were listening to. And in fact, they asked to repeat the day's reading. So wouldn't you know it, Iselin and her aunts and her mom, well, they've all joined this little journey that we're on in the Word. And I'd like to welcome all of you ladies. So glad, so honored to be in the Word together with you each day. May God shine His light in our hearts, and may His healing and joyful light fill you and your family with His love and strength and joy. In fact, that prayer, that blessing is for all of you out there. I can't believe I get to do this every day for over 1,000 days now. We have gathered together here, listening to the Word, and I am blown away by it all, what God has done in my own heart, and what He's doing in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls all around the world. So thank you for being a part of that journey. May God continue to bless it. Hey, before I let you go, I want to ask that you too would do what Diane did and be bold enough to share the Word with your friends. You never know. There are people out there that are hungry for the Word of God. They just need a little encouragement. They just need a sister to say, hey, can I play this for you? And you never know what might happen as a result. So share the Word. We've made that so simple. All you have to do is click on the link on the app that says share the app, and you can give it away for free. Another way to stay in the know and to make this work known is by liking our Facebook page. In fact, while you're there, would you offer up a review on our Facebook page? Review the ministry, review the app, review the web page, the podcast. You can do all of that right from the Facebook page. And that too is a great blessing to us, and it helps to get the Word out. And if you would like to add your voice to the day's podcast by offering the reading of the introduction for the day, and that is so cool. We would appreciate that very, very much. I love adding your voice to the day's podcast. All you have to do is email me at hunter@dailyradiobible.com, and I'll give you a specific date, and we'll put you on the calendar. One last thing, if you would like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible, this ministry happens because of partners, people like you who come alongside and say, hey, I want to make sure this thing survives and thrives. And you can do that. You can partner with us very simply by going to dailyradiobible.com, click on the partner link. You can also give right from the app itself, or you can go old school and mail your gift in to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. Hey, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here starting the work week with you here behind this makeshift office in the basement of my house in the Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. You let His joy be your strength, and you remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, happy Father's Day. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Bye-bye.